So let me just start this morning and say good morning and welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. I want to extend a warm welcome to you. I hope that you're all happy to be here today, and I hope that you all came expecting to hear from the Lord today. I believe that when we come expecting, we generally find. And so this morning, let me encourage you to have your ears open and your heart ready to receive from Him. I'm excited to start this new series today. It's a new series that's going to take us the rest of the way through the month of July. And I have titled this series, What We Believe. And I believe it's crucial that we talk about what we believe because we have a lot of new people. We have a lot of people who have started coming to our church, maybe don't have background in the assemblies. And so we're going to examine our four core doctrines over the next 4 weeks. And we actually have 16 fundamental truths, if you know that. If you don't, we have pamphlets in the back that say 16 fundamental truths. Those are what we believe and hold dear to Scripture. But these four, what we call core doctrines, are what we're going to be going over. And they're called core beliefs for this reason. Because they are key in the role they play in reaching the lost, building the believer, and building the church both now and in the future. And so we have four core doctrines that we're going to focus on over the next 4 weeks. And today, we tackle the first of the four of these, starting with salvation. And so if you were in Sunday school, you got a little bit of a prelude to what today's sermon. Not anything, like no planning in that at all, by the way, just so everybody understands. It just worked out that way. And so today I have titled the sermon, Salvation, Faith, Not Works. And if you have your Bible with you this morning, I sure hope you do, or someone next to you has one that you can turn to and look on with. Let me invite you to open your Bible to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. That's Philippians chapter 2, 12 through 18. And as you turn there, I'm going to share this story with you. I read about an instant cake mix that was a big flop. The instructions said all you had to do was add water and bake. And the company didn't understand why it didn't sell until their research discovered that the buying public felt uneasy about a mix that only required water. Apparently, people thought it was too easy. So the company altered the formula and changed the directions to call for adding an egg in the mix in addition to the water. The idea worked, and sales jumped dramatically. That story reminds me of how people react to the plan of salvation. To them, it sounds too easy and simple to be true. Even though the Bible says God saved you by His special favor when you believed, and you can't take credit for this, it is a gift from God. Anybody know what that comes from? That's Ephesians 2. Yes. That's our memory verse that we did last week in Sunday school, right? It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. Unlike the cake mix manufacturer, God has not changed His formula to make salvation more marketable. The gospel we proclaim must be free of works, even though it may sound too easy. I don't know about you, but a cake mix that only takes water, sign me up. So it begs the question, if this is true, the question that gets asked then is, why does Paul urge the Philippians to work out their salvation? Why does he urge them to work out their salvation by bearing the fruit of good deeds in gratitude for God's gift of salvation? And that's where we arrive to our scripture today. It says this, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. It feels like this was written for today, doesn't it? Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Now, we could write 20 sermons from the scripture, but we're going to focus on what Paul meant by work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Here's something we must understand. Here's what Paul means. What Paul means by work out your own salvation is not works in order to be saved, not deeds in order to be saved, not become right in order to be saved, not to change your lifestyle in order to be saved, but works because you are saved. Change your lifestyle because you are saved. Leave sin behind because you are saved. Certainly, our salvation isn't achieved through good deeds or works. I know there's teaching out there that would suggest that you have to work and you got to do things to be welcomed in to heaven. But what we have to understand today, it is solely a gift of God's grace. Period. When we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, this is Romans 10:9. When we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that he rose from the dead, what does the end say? You will be saved. Ever since Jesus' time, people have struggled with this. So they have wrestled with this concept of working for their salvation. And it's a lie. Listen, it's a lie. It's a trap. We are not to work for our salvation. Satan would rather us work and get trapped and enslaved to those works than to have freedom in Christ, which is how he intended it to be. He would rather suggest that we have to work hard to be able to earn our way into heaven, so we always fall short of earning our way into heaven. The idea of working for something, let's be honest. If you have a job in here, if you've held a job, raise your hand. Well, that's wild. Everybody's raised their hand. For kids, maybe you had to do chores to get something. We our kids have to work to earn screen time in our house. So they're learning the concept of working. But listen, the idea of working for something is in every aspect of our life, isn't it? To get on a sports team, to be able to play an instrument, to be first chair. I was never first chair. I played trombone in high school, and I was always like second or third. It depended. Like, if there was four chairs, I was third or fourth. Like, I took great pride in that because I didn't want to play very well the trombone. It was more of a, we were kind of forced to pick an instrument as kids. And then the guy that had first chair, man, you thought that he was amazing. Like, he took it serious. He wanted to play the trombone. And that was just ludicrous to me. I don't know why anybody picks to, you know. But listen, he worked for it. Therefore, he got first chair. I didn't work for it. I should not expect first chair, right? And if you don't understand that, there's different parts. Is it harmony, Joel? There's different parts to harmonize the score. To harmonize the score that's written. And I also think maybe third and fourth chair had less notes than first chair. I don't know. They didn't want me playing very much. I'm kind of making a joke there. But the idea of working for something is in every aspect of our lives. Every time we turn around, there's something else that we have to work for, especially if you're working for a paycheck. Who goes to work hoping, boy, I wish they don't pay me this week. I really don't need, I just love being here so much, I don't want to get paid. Has anybody ever said that? Kelly, put your hand down. I know that. That's called volunteer, or, well, something else. But so listen, It even impacts us when we give somebody a gift. If it's not Christmas, where in our culture today we have made it obligatory almost to give a gift, you get a gift, you got to give a gift, right? If you were to get a gift tomorrow morning, who is really good at just receiving the gift without feeling like you need to do something back for the person? Yeah, of course Caden is. But how many of us feel almost obligated when somebody gives you a gift, when you know that they have spent money on you, is not the initial reaction to be like, I need to do something back for them. I need to repay kindness with kindness, right? So there's this whole idea that we have to give a gift back or do something back for them in order to pay for that thing that they gave us. And I'm here to tell you today that's not at all how Jesus approaches salvation. Okay? God never intended for us to feel like we had to work for our salvation. That was never the case. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for by grace you have, this is different than our memory verse, different version, but the meaning's the same, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. Faith alone. Faith alone. Grace alone. Grace alone means that God loves, He forgives, and He saves us, not because of who we are, not because of what we have done, but because of the work of Christ. By the blood of Jesus alone. Because our best efforts, they can never be enough to earn our way to salvation. But because of Christ, God declares us righteous. We receive that grace through faith alone. You're going to hear that a lot today. In case it's not clear, we're going to have a little fun. I remember doing this in elementary, so you know we're all kids in here, so we're going to have a little fun. I want everybody to close their eyes with me today. We're going to put on our imagination caps. So if you need to act like you're pulling that cap on your head and tying it on like we did when we were do it, we're putting on our imagination caps. And I want to ask you, imagine if you will, that you are in heaven right now, standing before God Almighty. Everybody got that picture? You think you know what God's going to look like? If God were to ask you right now, and I want you to respond silently, but I want you to imagine, I want you to just think of how you're going to respond to this. If you were to stand before God today and He asked you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say to Him? I want you to imagine how you would respond to Him. Does everybody have their answer? Okay, you can open your eyes and just hang with me here. I want you to think about your answer. If your answer was something like, because I was a good person, because I spread the gospel, because I went to church, because I paid my tithe, because I didn't openly sin, because I was kind to others. Let's look at those. If it was anything like that, I want you to notice something in your answer. Take your answer and ask this question at the same time. Is that answer trusting in what Jesus did to get you into heaven, or is it trusting in what you did to get into heaven? Because if your answer is anything other than Jesus, wrong answer. It is not works-based. We do not earn our salvation. If your answer was anything like that, you're trusting in what you did, not in what Jesus did. At the end of the day, everything you do is going to fall short. What Christ did will never fall short. Because it matters what He's done, not what we do. So your response, and I hope everyone was in that same boat where they said, Jesus. It's because of Jesus. I hope your response, God asking, why should I let you into heaven, was as simple as Jesus. Because if we put our trust in works to save us, if we believe that works is going to be what gets us to heaven, they're not. They're not. They're never enough to get us into heaven. So when you hear somebody say, I believe I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person, they lack understanding of what faith is. They lack understanding. They have actually been enslaved to the gospel message that they have to earn their way to salvation. Whereas Jesus came to take those works away and to pour His blood out for us so that by faith alone we have salvation. Okay? While everything we do, so if we look at spreading the gospel, if any of your answers were like spreading the gospel, going to church, praying, I read the word, I tithe, I'm kind, I love others, these are all good things. These are all wonderful things. These are all things that we should do, and it's all part of being a Christian. But we should do these things to show our love and gratitude because of what Jesus did for us. Not because it's how we get to heaven. Does the Bible say spread the gospel to get to heaven? No, but we spread the gospel in response to knowing we're going to heaven. Our works for God provide an opportunity to reveal Jesus to others. And so this is the point of the works. The works is not to, I have to do this or I have to do this. It's I get to do this. And Jesus Christ is revealed to somebody because of it. When we rely on our works, we give ourselves false confidence in our salvation. For example, yesterday we were playing Rummy. Does anybody know how to play Rummy, the card game? Just a regular deck of cards. It sets and runs. It's a really fun game. If you want to learn, Alicia and I will teach you. It's a lot of fun and it's easy. Yes, we're... How old are you? I'm 30. I'm going to be 30. I'm 36. You're 34? 32. I don't know. 32. Good golly. What a dumb thing to do in front of everybody. We're 30-somethings who like to play cards, and if you'd like to learn how to play cards, let us know and we'll teach you how to play cards. But yesterday, we were playing Rummy out at the campsite with Teresa, because that's what we do, and I wrote my name. Instead of writing Mike, I wrote Winner. I was that confident when the game started. I lost the first game. My wife won, and so the second game, I wrote my name as Loser. And guess who won? So that's all fun and you know, let's get some laughs from it. But seriously, if we put too much confidence in our works, we start to take away the power of Christ and faith for our salvation to be in Him alone. So when we rely on our works, we give ourselves a false confidence in our salvation. And we will be greatly disappointed when we get to heaven. And God says, why should I let you in? Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say God's going to stop every one of us and ask us that. But if He were, because I paid my tithe every week. That's almost like booking a hotel, isn't it? Or owning a timeshare. You show up and you get to use it a couple times a year, right? That's not at all how the gospel is. It is by faith alone. Are you tired of hearing that yet? Faith alone. That's it. And works can look like some of the same things that we just said in our imagination session a couple of seconds ago. It could be, I attend church every Sunday, or I've been in church since I was a baby. I was born into this. I read my Bible a few days a week. I generally live a good life. Yeah, I'm a good person. But works can also be trying to impress God. Doing things that will impress God, do you know, actually don't impress God very much. Or trying to impress others to convince them that you are a good Christian. That doesn't get you to heaven either. We can all put a paper bag on our head and act like somebody that we're not, right? If we rely on these things for salvation, we're going to be greatly disappointed. When we rely on works, when we focus on works and not faith, we become a slave to those works. And that is a departure from the gospel of Jesus Christ. So think of this. Men, you're probably, you know, I hope some of you will agree with this. Women, I'm a man, so I wrote it from a man's perspective, okay? If my wife only loved me because I cook or because I clean the house or I load the dishwasher, albeit not the right way, her love is conditional on my doing things. That makes her love conditional on my works or deeds. Rather, she loves me, or I hope she does, for who I am, not because of what I do. In turn, I love her for who she is, not for what she does, because that would be works-based, wouldn't it? God gives us His grace through our faith alone in Jesus. By faith alone. Not because we spread the gospel, not because we've attended church since birth, not because we can sing all the notes in the right way to my favorite worship song, not because I lead a small group, not because I teach Sunday school, not because I'm in nursery, I teach kingdom kids, I do this, I do that, I give to the needy or poor. None of that besides faith in Jesus Christ. Don't mistake this message as saying works aren't important. Some of you might be hearing that works aren't important. Listen, they have a place. How do I know? Because we look at Scripture. Scripture tells us there's a place for it. Just as faith is important, also works are important because they demonstrate our salvation. We do works because we are saved by faith. But they have no bearing on our salvation. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. You can write that down and look at it later if you'd like. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things they needed for the body, what good is that? James is referring to the practical evidence of our claim of having faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus for our salvation is living and active, just like the Word of God is living and active. It doesn't stop when we say the sinner's prayer. That's when your life actually begins, not when it ends. It's a life that shows devotion and obedience to Him as Lord in response to His gift of grace. We should be moved to works by our faith. If we're not moved to works by our faith, I would ask, what kind of faith do we have? We should be moved to works by our faith because faith is the driver of our work. So what does that look like today? Well, I could go through a list of a bunch of what ifs, but let's go to Scripture. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Anything that points us to a sincere love for others and their well-being in obedience with the Holy Spirit is what that work should look like. And then I'll back it up with another verse that was shared in Sunday school, John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So when we look at our main scripture, when we go back and see what Paul was saying to the Philippian believers, and even us today, what he's saying to us, what God is saying to us today, is to work out our salvation, even though, let me rephrase that, Paul tells the Philippians and us today to work out our salvation. What he's not doing, he's not saying it's based on works. Rather, he is saying faith produces good works for the benefits of others, not for ourselves. Because what good is it for us to do good works? What are we gaining by good works? We've already been saved by Jesus Christ. Our salvation is secure. Our eternity is secure. So we do it for the benefit of others. We work out our salvation by doing good works that are suitable for saving faith. Church, we must be about working out our salvation. We must be about allowing our faith to produce good works so we can benefit others and we can point them to Christ as we are engaging our community for Jesus. So as we bring this to a close today, what do we believe? This is what we believe. As a church, first, it should be as a body of believers, as individual believers, as a church, as a denomination, we believe that salvation is by faith alone, not because of anything that you did. Nothing you do is good enough to get you into heaven, but everything, because of everything that Christ Jesus did, that is where salvation comes from. So for that reason today, I would just ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. For that reason today, I want you to know that you can proclaim that same faith. You can write your name in eternity. You can know that your salvation is secure by proclaiming faith in Jesus Christ. So if you have never confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you have never believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you have a choice to do so now today. So whether this is in a new way or a fresh way, if that's you, I would like to just quick see your hand up, see it down. Amen. If you didn't raise your hand this morning, I would just encourage you, and you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus. You don't have to be in the church to do it. You don't have to have the pastor leading certain words for you to do it. For me, it was in my apartment in Pella. I hit my lowest of lows and I hit my knees and I cried out to God and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I need you. That's when everything changed. So maybe you need to hit your knees in your house or when you're out in nature on your walk or you're in your bedroom by yourself, whatever it is. He will respond. And so I would just encourage you today that if you've not made that decision for Christ, the best decision in your life is to do so as quickly as you can. So this begs the question for the rest of us today, for all of us, frankly, where do we land? Where do we land if I were to put up a scale and I put works on one end and faith on the other? And I just put a line in the middle of it, and I said, you're that line. Where do we end up on that scale? Are we more towards works, or are we more towards faith? Have you forgotten that your faith alone saves you? Have you lost focus on your faith, and you started to rely on works? This is how we commonly say we become religious. When we become more religious than we are relational with Jesus, we're focusing more on our works than we are on our faith for salvation. And in doing so, we let our relationship with Jesus go to the wayside. Just go over here to the side for a moment. Have you been so focused on coming to church? Have you been so focused on being a good person that it's no longer about Jesus, but it's about what you're doing? Have you placed more importance on your works rather on Jesus? As we close today, as Stacy gets ready to lead us in a song, listen, I implore you to take time to come to the altar, to ask for forgiveness, and to commit to doing works because of what Jesus has done, not because of what you are trying to do, not because you're trying to lead yourself into heaven, but you're relying on Him. So as we close in that song, church, let me just encourage you. There's no condemnation at this altar. There's no judgment. We would love to pray with you and lift you up this morning. But let's get back to our roots of faith alone brings us salvation. Amen.